It is a scam when you don't allow everyone to operate on fair terms.
We are the Robin Hoods of sports betting. We take something back from the rich bookies and enable our customers to beat them instead.
G'day everyone, welcome along to episode 3 of Sunday Streams with Trademate Sports, where we answer your betting questions, discuss both new and old betting strategies, how to best use Trademate Sports, and welcome on guests from around the betting industry. And talking of bringing on guests from the betting industry, this week we bring on professional sports bettor Neil Shah. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. How's things, Alex?
Very good, mate. Great to have you along. I'll quickly run over some of the things that we'll talk about today, and you guys can start sending through any questions you have for us.
Nothing too difficult, please.
No, mate. We'll go through both of our Trademate results lately. So I think in particular, talk about, it's been quite a popular topic, I think, lately on the Facebook group, talk about the betting exchanges, like how we're using them, the sharps too. I know Neil's done a bit of work with the sharps. Talk a bit of tennis betting, because I think that's a really interesting topic, because if you just followed, like, well, at least since I started doing the monthly article about Trademate's results, if you followed that, you'd probably be quite hesitant. And overall too, like, our tennis betting results haven't been too good, but I think it would be, I think it's a bit silly to just completely ignore tennis betting with Trademate. There are some profitable segments there, so we can talk about that also with Neil. And then we got some news towards the end of something myself and Neil, especially Neil, have been working on lately. So mate, how's things going anyway?
Yeah, it's been a good month so far. Doing lots of stuff. This last week was relentless. I was quite involved with Cheltenham Week. So anyone who's not familiar, it's like the biggest horse racing festival in the UK. It just means there's lots of opportunities if you kind of approach it and, you know, put the time in, there's profit to be made. So it was a very busy one, but otherwise all good. Just had my first COVID vaccine today as well, and seems all right so far, so yeah, we'll see.
Nice, buddy. And you told me a little story about how you've been doing some naughty things, mate, and in Doha, mate. What do you want to tell the public all about your little course?
The tennis, I guess. I went along to the two tennis tournaments here. So every year there's a women's and a men's tournament. This year they were rescheduled, so they had them back to back, and so I tried a little bit of dabbled in a bit of court siding. It's going all right, but then eventually I figured out what I was doing, and I got marched to the office. It was a little bit nerve-wracking, especially being in Qatar. You're not quite sure what will happen here, but I got kind of slap on the wrist. They took a mugshot of me, so my face is on the wall somewhere in the tennis complex there, and basically said see you later this year. But they were nice about it. But it was, what was quite interesting was actually I had a chat with the guy whose job it is to basically, you know, catch people like me and other people doing it. I wasn't the only one, from what I gathered as well. There's a guy who kind of travels around the tour, all the tennis tournaments, and they just look for sort of people trying to do this. And if anyone's sort of interested in court siding or interested in hearing stories about it, there's a good book out there as well. Someone who used to travel the world, I think it was an Australian guy actually, who did it. His name escapes me. The data in tennis is, you know, big, big money, all the data that gets provided to the betting companies. By sort of being there live, you're kind of exploiting this loophole, and they don't like it. So, they're pulling out all the stuff. So if you are able to do it, you know, you're going to have a hard time, good luck to you. But I think those glory days might be over.
Yeah, no, definitely, mate. Sorry, it's got a message come through from, I'm not even going to try pronounce your Twitch name, mate, but he says, thanks for the UFC bets. Yeah, some good UFC bets from our man Ryan Bruno on Thursday. But I was going to ask, was it Wednesday maybe, but I was going to ask, how did you go overall with the, if I don't know if you want to share, but how did you go overall with the court sliding? Like, was it worth your time?
It was okay. I mean, I made a few mistakes in the first, the first few matches, which if I hadn't done that, would have been better. So, it was profitable, but it wasn't, it wasn't crazy money or anything like that. So it's actually kind of harder than you might think. Or maybe I'm just thick. I just didn't know how to do it. there were different things. I think, one angle I didn't explore was the kind of the bookies side of things. I think they're kind of wisened up to it. Anyone in the UK who's listening to this, you might be familiar. There's a documentary about it. There's a guy who, went around and interviewed courtsiders, and, pretty much since then, they've killed off those kind of bets. So things like you can't bet on the next point. So what happens is the market suspends, there's a slight delay of a few seconds. So you can never kind of get that jump on. The only real way is, I guess, is on the exchange. Or if you've got, syndicates who do this, they've got kind of advanced models and they've got things in-house that can predict the movements of the game. So, and you've got to be fast. You can't just sort of go into it blind. You need to know how these markets behave in the first place, because you've got to anticipate where the price will go. But even then, you're not always going to get matched. So it was an interesting experience. I'm glad, I had a chance to do it. I think that was sort of, I tried it, and I think there's easier ways, to be honest. I probably would have, quite honestly, I probably would have made more just being at home on TradeMate. Not just saying it, but a plug again. But if I'd spent that time just at home, just hammering away, probably be more profitable. So it's an experience, paid for the tickets, but that's all I can say about it, really.
Oh, well, you got to watch live sports, mate. That's something.
Well, exactly.
It's pretty good. I know I've just put a link in the description. The chat for people if they want to watch a little video on court sliding that I think the BBC might have done about a year or two ago. It's a good video for people to watch. If you're not familiar with court sliding, it's quite a good watch. But were you on a phone or anything to someone else, or were you just betting it on your phone?
No, I had it on my phone. I had sort of software which plugged into the API. So I mean, look, you can't do this on a Betfair app. It's just too slow. So you do need some kind of software, that's out there for sort of professional traders to get your bets in fast enough. I guess if I was to go back again, do some kind of James Bond stuff, get a wig, just sort of a Bluetooth headset and all that kind of stuff. But
you grow the hair next time, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
if it still grows, sorry, mate.
All good. Getting old, mate.
yeah. No, mate, I remember when we first met, you had a full head of hair, mate. What's happened? TradeMate's really taken it out of you, that variant.
Dealing with you, Alex. Yeah.
Exactly. Being a Spurs fan. No, sorry?
Yeah, stress of being a Spurs fan, mate.
Oh, mate, we didn't talk about that, actually, the North London Derby last weekend.
Oh, mate, yeah.
I think what hurt more, that one or the Dynamo Zagreb one?
I'd say the Dynamo game. I mean, that was just ridiculous. And you could see it coming. I could just, I was watching it thinking, this is going to happen. Like, is they going to get a second? And then when they got the second, they're going to get the third. And then the sort of the Joe Hart business was just, that just topped it off. It was just classic. So, yeah, what can you do? I mean, let's see. We were 1-0 up. So far, so good. But let's see.
Mate. Here we go. It's happening again, as they say. All right. Do you want to share, Trey? I don't know if you can, but are you able to share your screen with people or with your latest TradeMate results?
Yeah, hold on. Let's see.
I'll see if that comes up in our little studio here. If not,
can you see it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, here we go. Beautiful. All right, I'll just maximize that. All right, mate. Oh, you've had a little
yeah. So this there. Is this. Oh no, sorry, that was just tennis. This is the one, right? Yeah. So this is just this month's results so far. Yeah, like turnover wise, I haven't put in as much as, you know, I was hoping. Well, not as much as I was hoping. I've just, you know, again, things like Cheltenham, the tennis, other things. So, you know, just sort of personal stuff. It happens. So I haven't been as busy as I normally am, but it's been a really good month. So, again, I don't know. I'm riding this kind of positive variance. You know, so I've hit what? Average 16.5% ROI, which is well above what it should be. So yeah, I've kind of fluked my way through this month. Yeah. But you know, I don't know what to tell people, because the thing is, I have people who contact me, and you know, I try and help where I can, and you know, give advice. I know there's a few guys, and I won't mention names, but you know, they've had a, you know, a bit of a tough time this month, and you know, I've kind of spoken to them about, you know, what they're doing. What kind of markets they're on, you know, giving a few pointers here and there, because I don't want people to think there's something sort of I'm doing that's particularly different, really. I think maybe it is, you know, times of the day, the markets I happen to find, the bookies. I think what I've noticed as well with a lot of people who are struggling is that they don't seem to have as big a range of bookies, because I do try and use, you know, as almost as many as possible. Kind of on a rotation, you know, so I have like four or five one given week, but then I might replace one or two. So you know, there might be, let's say, 10 or 12 at a time. And I think that evens out some of the variance. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of part of it. But, yeah, it's been a good month. There's been, you know, some good wins. You know, again, I'm taking sort of big odds where I can. So I've had a few big odds winners as well. So yeah, it's gone well, and I've dabbled a bit more in the exchange, so I'm kind of putting more volume through on Betfair, and I am helping a friend with their matchbook account, and again, that's quite helpful. Something that might be a pointer, if anyone who can get a matchbook account, there are you know, a few ways, sort of sneaky ways you can do this, where you can, you basically, you want to get a 0% commission offer. That's where, you know, you can make these gains, because again, if you cut out the commission entirely for a month or two, you know, and really put some volume through, then you could, you know, you can make some nice profits on something like Matchbook with that. So yeah, you know, just kind of just dabbling that, just kind of grinding away. Next week I'll be much more active on TradeMate, and you know, trying to get my volume. So like at the moment, my target, I don't have a profit target. I don't work that way, but I'm working on volume. So, you know, ideally I'd like to hit close to 100K volume. I think it's going to be tough this month, but if I can get kind of to 60, or, you know, close to 75 this month, then, you know, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah, Matt, I have lots of questions, because I think these numbers are so fascinating, but I'll just quickly get to Enoch's question here. He says, how do I get good at reading line movements? I mean, in this case, it's kind of irrelevant, because we don't really, well, TradeMate just sends through an alert. So I guess we could, I don't know, do you want to just bring up your thing again? There's probably there's probably trades coming up right now, and all you have to do is just get on the trade that TradeMate says. So you don't have to be good at reading movements or anything like that. So yeah, that's it. Yeah, really, just click on the trade, tells you how much to bet. Happy days, go and do that. So there's lots of questions coming through now, mate. But I just wanted to ask you, like how does that make you feel, that like last month that you've overachieved your closing EV like almost six times, I think, if we go back to looking at the numbers, like
what are we looking at?
Yeah, like if you look at your EV for the last month, I think it's the first tab, mate.
All this time using it, I still can't figure it out.
All right. I just want, like, because for me, like, I have this weird thing where I almost like it when I underachieve my closing EV, because it makes me feel like that I have a better chance of going up. But I mean, this is like quite extraordinary how much you've overachieved? Or do you think like you're doing something special that people should be utilizing themselves?
I mean, yeah, I could sit here and say, yeah, I'm some kind of god, and you know, this is just all part of my master plan. But it's not, you know, it is. I mean, you can kind of see it yourself, you know, like you can just see the lines. I'm just so used to seeing these now that this is way, way above where it should be. And what you should see over time is that it converges, but it hasn't this month. And probably, this is also probably part of the reason that I don't normally endorse this kind of thinking, but because I've got off to such a good start this month, it's almost made me a bit wary of putting too much time in now. I kind of almost want to quit while I'm there. But you know, I know that's not, you know, that's not the most sensible thing to do. But yeah, but the thing is, let's say in December, I hit, you know, I put in loads of volume. I put in loads of trades. I was pretty much only doing TradeMate that month, you know, a few other things, but most of my time was on TradeMate, and that was my worst month. And I made a loss. So, you know, as easy as it is to say, it does even out over time. And you know, if you look at it in the long term, and I mean, the way that I look at things is I don't look at it month to month. I have to do my month to month accounting, but I have a yearly target. I have a 12 month target, and I have a turnover target. You know, as long as every bet that I, or, you know, or 90-odd% of the bets I'm doing are, you know, beating the closing line, I don't have an issue really with that. The profits will come, you know, I'm not chasing it in that sense. So, you know, it might be a good month this month. You know, I might make half of this next month. I might make, you know, a third of it. I might make a loss. But it's kind of looking, you know, at that bigger picture there. And with the ROA, I mean, I haven't done a huge amount of analysis into it. I mean, generally it's the similar kind of markets. What I would say is maybe with the NBA, there's been a bigger volume. I'm getting more volume on the NBA, and that's definitely above where it should be. But even on restricted accounts, so, you know, on the Unibet clones, I'm able to get quite good stakes relative to my bankroll. And those have, I think, definitely have been overperforming. So I'm expecting that, you know, that might swing down at some point as well.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you want to share, but how, like, can you share how much you're overperforming your EV or just overall? Like, you don't have to show the numbers on the screen, but just overall, how much? I can take down your screen for a second if you want, so no one can see it while you go.
So you can see that it's way above here.
Yeah,
kind of closing EV should be around there. So
so you're well and truly overperforming. The funny thing is, like you said, it actually probably, I mean, if you were thinking right now, mate, if you're thinking, all right, I'm gonna do TradeMate for a couple more months, or, you know, I don't want to be betting next year, like, it probably wouldn't even be the worst idea in the world to just quit now. So, because I guess, I mean,
that is, you know, what could feasibly happen, you know, from, let's say I've had, you know, an amazing streak this year, and then next year, you know, I could go on a horrendous run and, you know, wipe out a big chunk of profit, and then that's a lot of time. But I think this is the kind of the cruelty of doing this, I guess, for a living, and, you know, putting this time in, is that you never quite know. And then, you know, you have to, at what point do you say to yourself, oh, you know, an edge is gone, or maybe you need to analyze something? Because if you do it too soon, then you might be costing yourself profit. If you do it too late, then, you know, you've also, you know, made too much of a loss. But there's no easy answer to it. So, you know, I think that's what makes, you know, so that kind of professional betting very, very tricky, and again, big part of the kind of the mental side of it.
And the biggest thing is just, like, kind of like you said, like, you just have to, you have to think long term with everything. Like, it's so easy to get caught up in your head, isn't it, after one bad weekend, and say, like, what am I doing? Like, this is just not working. Like, you really, everything you do and all the decisions you make with betting just have to be they have to be based on months and months of work, or you know, thousands and thousands of trades. I think it's and it's hard, because I mean, you know, I'm guilty of it too. You have a bad weekend, or maybe just two bad weeks in a row, and you start questioning everything you do. It's a fascinating thing how emotions can almost like ruin your sports betting career, or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, massively, yeah. I mean, it's not necessarily strictly trade mate, but again, you know, last week with Cheltenham, I mean, I spent day and night just constantly just kind of churning over bets, doing my research. I spent the week before, you know, again, listening to podcasts, you know, tips, all sorts. And, you know, if I'd had a shit week that week, I would have been sort of crestfallen. It would have made me quite depressed, because you think to yourself, if you put all that time and effort in, there should be some reward for it. But you know, the numbers don't lie. The numbers don't have those emotions. They don't care about us. And you just kind of got to hope that, you know, just the more you put in, the more you'll get. At least with TradeMate, you have this volume-based approach, so you can kind of get yourself out of trouble by just kind of grinding away. I think where, let's say, you know, there's some people out there who make very selective bets, or something I want to do is more anti-post and sort of more kind of outright markets. But I think I guess I don't have the patience in some ways to wait a year, you know, for my bet to, or a season for my bet to actually come in, and you know, have that money just kind of sitting there. And again, you won't know, maybe your edge is gone or your process is flawed for a whole year. And again, so it's there's so many different approaches to this. So
All right, mate, we've got to get some of these questions.
Oh yeah, sorry.
There's a load coming through, and I've completely ignored you. I just wanted to talk to Neil myself. 34k in, how much month plus how much size of the bet from starting to now? I'm not. Do you understand that question from Donnie Brasco?
Yeah, how many months? So since it was July, I think, last year I started. So what's that?
9 months.
Yeah, 9 months. So, and then, yeah, size of bets depends. So if Donnie, if you've seen any of the videos, so I started with a 5K bankroll, and it's grown from there. So yeah, stake sizes kind of depend. I would say I rarely take the maximum bets. I mean, rarely. I don't even get a quarter of them. You just can't get those limits. You know, sometimes I'll have a recommended bet of like 1,000 on there, and they won't let me bet that. And I don't want to bet that. I have a psychological barrier, I think, you know, you know, at that age, it's tricky. So yeah, so around sort of 9 months.
Cool. And Donnie Brasco, mate, can you send through a message? Because I want to know if that's your real name, because Donnie's always here every now and then, and I just think it's the greatest name ever, Donnie Brasco. I don't know what you think, Neil, but I'm just a big fan of that name. So I'd love to know if it's your real name or not, mate. Ramesh Gopal says, oh, sorry, I've lost my camera here for a sec. He says, hey, Neil and Alex, love the podcast and updates. Neil, would you take a trade that shows in your present that has a 10 plus edge from a non-recommended league, even though they flag up to the bookie?
Ramesh is a good guy. I chat to him a lot, actually. And I bet on non-recommended leagues. But the thing is, if accounts are precious and scarce, I wouldn't recommend it. Again, because you're going to get flagged up fairly quickly. Or if you do, you kind of mix them up with other bets, put some mug bets on, you know, put some accumulators, do a few that aren't value, just on sort of big games, things like that, and you might get away with it for longer. But yeah, again, I try and find as many edges as I can.
Yeah, cool. Enoch is back again. He says the ideal bankroll to start with will be, I mean, I don't really like giving out bankroll advice, because it's kind of, I don't want someone to start with 5 grand or 10 grand, which is a great bankroll to start with. But then, you know, you go on a terrible variance run and next thing you know, you've lost more money than you can afford. So, it's all, at the end of the day, you have to you have to think of what bankroll am I happy to, I mean, I don't know. I know it's like not probable that this will happen, but what bankroll am I happy to lose almost all of? Because that is like there is a 1% chance that that could happen. And although it's only a 1% chance, it's still a chance. And I mean, I'm going to show my results with TradeMate soon. And it kind of shows that the even unlikely scenarios are possible. So, I don't know what you think, mate. We always say something around 5K is really, really good. But I mean, as long as it's not, I just wouldn't go lower than 2K. I mean, I wouldn't start with 2K. It depends on your currency, obviously, but let's just use euros because I think that's the currency we always use around here. But yeah, I wouldn't go lower than 2 to 3K euros because then you've got the problem of, unless you're really happy to put in the work, you just got a problem of going on a bad run, and then next thing you know, you're paying the subscription fee to TradeMate, and you're not making enough money for the work you're putting in. So, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts, mate?
Yeah, I think that's good advice. And if you're kind of going to be doing it, then I think it's worth committing to. I think I mentioned it to someone before. See it as a kind of 6-month commitment, and you know, you can start off with a small bankroll. But then you're going to have to be prepared that you still might get limited and you might not have made much profit because your stakes would be quite small from the beginning. And also, again, to kind of grow the bankroll might take a bit of time. So it depends on kind of, and it's all relative, you know, to some people, right? So what would be, you know, a good income, a good side income for you from that? So for me, I had a kind of target in mind, you know, it had to replace my salary that I had before, but you know, for other people, you know, they might be content with less, or some people, you know, they might need a lot more to make it worth their while doing this. So there's no easy answer to it. It really depends on your situation, but I would say definitely the most important thing is kind of, if you're going to do it, I think commit to doing at least a few months before you make any sort of judgments on it.
Good stuff. Donny Brasco, mate, I can't believe this. He's given me the compliment of a lifetime. I mean, I've never had someone comment on my appearance on a live stream. This is just incredible. Thank you very much, mate. No, I don't go to the gym, mate. I just I'm actually training for a triathlon in a couple of weeks, and then I'm going to do a half Ironman later in the year. So
nice.
You'll see me get skinnier and skinnier as the months go on, probably.
Is it all this Australian sunshine as well? Must be helping.
You could say that, mate, but it's been pissing down for about 2 weeks. So I'm actually surprised I could get this live stream done today, mate, because there's floods everywhere and I was just worried I might be swept away, mate. So, but thank you very much, Donny, and make sure you send through if that's your actual your name or not, mate. I'd love to get an answer. Anthony, I don't think he's too happy with what you've said here, mate. He says, my ears have just pricked up. It's a huge mistake to think that you need to tie up money for a year in outright markets. I can make a profit from the current situation to the end of May.
Yeah, no, I was seeing this as it came through, Anthony. And yeah, definitely, you're right. I think maybe you might have misunderstood what I've said, or maybe I didn't explain it well enough. It's not that it's not a good strategy. It's a great strategy. And I know people who do very well in outrights. And I put bets on outright markets as well. But the point I was trying to make was, it's a different approach, right? As in, again, you know, something like TradeMate, I'm putting hundreds of bets through, you know, each week. With outrights, like, for example, each week, you know, I place bets on golf tournaments. I place bets on outrights on tennis tournaments as well, on Grand Slams, anti-posts on things like the Greyhounds, you know, big Greyhound races. So it's not something that I don't do. It's just it doesn't take up a big proportion of my time. And definitely what you're saying, I agree. You know, you can exploit movements in the price. And if you're doing it on the exchange, a good example was there was a rumor. I mean, okay, technically it's an outright market, but I don't know if you followed the rumors about Jurgen Klopp when he was looked like he was going to leave, you know, with all the stuff that happened with him, you know, his family circumstances, and his price, you know, to be the next manager to leave, or to completely, you know, shot down. So again, I traded that, kind of greened up, and took that position. And in the same way, you know, again, on the Premier League outwinners market, if you were, again, you know, laying Liverpool, backing City when they were on a bad run earlier in the year, again, you know, there are great ways to make money. So that's great, you know, Anthony, I'm pleased. You do well with it, absolutely.
Yeah, he's just put through here saying outright solve the psychological problems you were mentioning.
Yeah, definitely. It's a different way to bet. You know, there's plenty of ways to skin this cat, and I think all the process of finding sort of outright bets is quite enjoyable as well. Mm. It'd be interesting at the end of the season, and I don't know if you saw our preview podcast with George Gamble and Marius, to see how wrong, you know, most of us were with our predictions for the year. But again, it's definitely, I think there's something to be gained. You know, I would recommend to anyone to, you know, even pick out a few outrights at the beginning of a season. Something I'm going to be doing sort of shortly with the internationals, with the Euros as well. You know, start scanning some early markets and seeing, you know, where there could be some value. So, yeah. And as if you're on our forums or anything, you know, feel free to share any sort of useful tips or insights. If there's something that, you know, you have a particular strength in, anything you feel comfortable sharing with, you know, the rest of us, so more than welcome. Happy to learn.
Yeah, they're a funny game, the outrights, because I place a few at the start of the season and then I just completely forget about them. And now that it's, you know, March, a couple months left, now it's starting to heat up. So you've got all these, you know, big sums on the line that you just completely forgot about. So it's good fun. I've been noticing Nigel's been talking up Tranmere on Twitter all the time. So I've got Bolton to win. If Bolton win the league, you know, I might not be working for TradeMate anymore. It's so I'm hoping the old Bolton can get through, but we'll see. We'll see how we go. Stefan Week. Sorry, mate. I'm so bad at pronouncing these names. I'm sorry if I'm botching everyone's names, but it says, what do you think? How high is the ROI with chasing steam or TradeMate betting strategy on the Asian markets? Makes sense to play in Asia with this strategy. I think overall, I always kind of direct people when we're talking about TradeMate Pro and betting with the Asian books to the article that we've written, and I can get it up again. But I think overall, it's one of those things where you have to be really knowledgeable about what you're doing, and TradeMate Pro it's almost a tool. It's not like TradeMate Core in the sense that you can just use the standard presets that we give out and expect a profit over time. Like, you have to put in lots of, you just have to know lots of things. I don't know what you think, mate. And I can send this article through on the chat for people to read who want to know more about TradeMate Pro.
Yeah, definitely. It's you can't approach sort of the sharp bookmakers and the exchanges in the same way as the softs. You know, occasionally you'll find some good edges on let's say on Betfair Exchange. So I've been dabbling more with the exchange. The reason I haven't before is I didn't really want to before reaching that profit target, because it's something that TradeMate recommends, and I thought, you know, let me get there organically first, you know, before doing that. And you're going to have to expect that you're going to have to put in a lot more volume for a much shorter ROI. So again, there is a lot of kind of hard work there. And again, the advantages are I would say you do need to have some knowledge of how these markets operate. Kind of anticipation of, you know, how these lines might close. So I think it's worth observing these markets, you know, looking at the pinnacle lines, trying to make these predictions, and again, you know, using it as a tool. You know, I'd say still, you know, vast majority of my bets are placed on the soft books, but I am profitable on the exchange and on Dafabet. But to give you an example, you know, I've put in about the same amount of turnover on Dafferbet as I have with, you know, Unibet and its clones. And it's made, you know, let's say about a quarter of the profit. They're hard to beat. You know, they're sharp for a reason. So although maybe Dafferbet's not the, the sharpest, but yeah, they are very, very tricky to beat. So yeah, it needs to be kind of thought through. And I think that's why the kind of the 20K profit target is a good benchmark, because by then you would have spent a lot of time kind of analyzing markets. You'll have a kind of instinct for where the price might be or where a good price is. And you know, that can only be a benefit.
Yeah. And to follow up on what Neil has said, I think, Stefan, like, obviously it's like a possible thing to do on the Asian markets without TradeMate too. Like, the best example is probably that we've had on the podcast a million times is Haru. Like, this is basically what Haru does, Haru and Drew. So I'm not exactly sure what their kind of ROI is, but he's mentioned, if you go back and listen to some of the podcasts we've done with him, that it's kind of all about turnover for him. So because they're working with a lower ROI than if you were a modeler or a originator, whatever you want to call it. It's all about the turnover. So it's definitely possible. I'm very lost in the questions here. There's been so many come through, but thanks. Stefan says he's enjoying the stream, so that's always good news. Enoch, are accumulators any good? I talked a lot about this about 2 weeks ago on the first Sunday streams, and I think, and I probably have Neil to thank for this, like, I think he might have been the first person that ever pointed this out to be able to do accumulators with, although we don't have it in our software to be able to register, but it's just such a good strategy. And I mean, it's obviously plus EV because you're multiplying your EV, but by putting these bets together. But I think the biggest thing is just keeping those accounts under the radar.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, I would generally accumulators are bad, Enoch. But like, if you're using a software like TradeMate, or you've identified two or three value players to put together, then they're just such a great tool. Where are we now? Oh, sorry, I don't know. Yeah, I'm very lost with the Anthony Morris conversation about outrights here, but we'll go to Ramesh. He says, any plans to add different new sports to TradeMate? We have ice hockey. Maybe you mean just general hockey. But yeah, I mean, there were murmurs about 6 months ago of adding horse racing into the software, but it's quite a big project. Because it's not like any other normal sport where you can just add the sport in and so it's just a completely different game. So if we did add in horse racing, it would take a lot of building, a lot of extra time, and yeah, that's just a decision that we have to make. So at the moment, no, we just put Dota back into the software. So that's a title of esports, I think they call it. I'm not too familiar with all the lingo, but so that's like the newest sport we have come in. Stefan is back. He says, what lines and closing odds are sharper, Pinnacle or Betfair? What's your thought on this, mate?
As a general rule, you'd say Pinnacle. But they're kind of, you know, closely tied. So, you know, people are doing arbitrage. If the line is too far out of sync, then it gets pulled, you know, in one of the two directions. But I don't know if it was you, Alex, or on a pod with someone or somewhere or something. It was mentioned about, say, US sports, maybe NFL, that actually Betcris is the sharpest line. It's actually probably sharper than Pinnacle on some things. And I've noticed a few things on Pinnacle that, you know, again, that can be sort of exploited. It's early days, so I'm not really going to, you know, make a big statement on it. But it is interesting, sort of smaller niche sports, just like any softbook, really, you know, when there's a kind of a knowledge gap, you know, you could find edges there, and maybe the pinnacle lines aren't as sharp as you know one might think for the more liquid sports. But then you'll see that from the limits in the first place. So yeah, as a general rule, pinnacle. Although if it's quite a liquid sport, if it's a big, it's a big game, there's lots of money matched on the Betfair market, then the odds will be fairly similar. So you could still take it as a good reference point.
Yeah, I think the American sports with BetCris, it's an interesting one, because we look at our results with BetCris and we've been smashing them over time. But I think they're very sharp in the big leagues. So your NFLs, NBA, NHL, MLB, but I think anything below that, that's where Pinnacle's a bit more sharper. Well, I mean, just by using TradeMate's results, we can see that by using Pinnacle as a benchmark on those non-recommended college basketball or lower basketball leagues, American football, smaller leagues, the Pinnacle is definitely sharper.
Yeah, and is that across all the US sports then? Is it as a sort of general trend, or are there any specifics?
Yeah, I definitely. NBA and NFL, Chris is sharper. I've heard that just from listening to loads of podcasts with professional sports, but I talked to Haru about it quite a bit. And that was actually a really big worry for mine earlier, because I was like, well, you know, if we're following Pinnacle's odds on the NBA and NFL and Chris is sharper, then shouldn't we be using Chris as a benchmark instead? But he said the difference is not that big, it's nothing to be concerned about. So you can still use Pinnacle. Yeah, it might not be, no market's 100% efficient, but it might not be as efficient as Chris. Yeah. But you can't really go wrong at Pinnacle, can you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's proven to kind of work, isn't it?
Mm. No, it's a great question though, Stefan. Ramesh is back. He says, should follow the UFC pod, mate. They have been smashing it for months. Think they have hockey already. Yeah, I agree, Dan. I don't. One day people start listening to the UFC stuff, because there's just, you're leaving money on the table if you're not listening. Ryan is just incredibly sharp.
He's a brilliant guy, isn't he? I need to start tuning in as well.
Well, the one on the weekend was on the last, or one he tipped up on Wednesday, was just the greatest example, because he messaged me earlier in the week and there was Bruno Silva was at threes. And he's like, mate, this guy should be priced at 2.2. And he's at threes. It's just extraordinary, the gap there. So I was like, all right, I'll get on. But I could only get 2.7 or something like that. And he came on the pod and said, even at 2.7, it's too big. And he closed at 2.17 or something. So it's just, yeah, he's it's just all the method of victory markets, the prop markets, those kind of things. He's a great, great man to follow. We're very lucky to have him on the show. So if you're listening, Ryan, mate, you're a great man. Question for Neil. Outside of trade, mate, what is your most profitable strategy, best strategy for scaling things up, from Dan?
Yeah, good question, Dan. I'll try and give you some help, but at the same time, there's a few things that, understandably, I kind of don't want to share too publicly, because then the edge would go. But what I would say were, these are things that a lot of people are doing anyway. So it's not a big secret. I would say horse racing. I definitely have some very effective strategies on the bookmakers with that. So on US racing in particular, although it's an account killer. It gets accounts killed quite quickly. So it's kind of sporadic when I do use it. And again, found some interesting edges in UK racing that I'm doing as well. And then just kind of basic stuff that a lot of people do. So, casino offers, again, signing up friends and doing that kind of stuff in between. What I'm actually putting more effort into is actually doing my own modeling. So I bought a couple of books recently by Andrew Mack. I definitely recommend them as well if you're interested in that So again, I'm kind of dabbling around with Excel and sort of things like that, and trying to build my own predictions, sort of my own pricing, and you know, that's been going well so far. But I would say, yeah, it's probably the racing would be sort of the my favorite kind of go-to strategy.
What are you modeling, mate?
Just all sorts. I had one on like sort of Aussie rules football, because that was the example that he gave in the book. I had no clue who these teams are, or but it's kind of the easiest models to start out with are sports like that. Because the problem is, something like football, if you want to use that model, there's some, you know, there's a kind of draw inflation effect that you have to factor in. So it kind of becomes a little bit complicated at first when you're a beginner, just to model it accurately. So yeah, just kind of, you know, I'm just kind of looking at different sort of football leagues. So something I'm going to do is the Japanese and Korean leagues, because they've just started. I'm going to try again to sort of model some prices for that, and really try and get in on the opening lines. I think you mentioned it recently, I think in another podcast, might have been with Professor Sumter, about kind of having an idea of a price in mind, you know, before kind of looking, or maybe it was another podcast. So I think I don't want to go by the reference points. You know, I think, again, part of this year for me is learning as much as possible. So, you know, when if I do have to go back to full-time work and do something else, I've got all the tools I need. So whenever I do want to look at a game, or if I see something like this ability that Ryan has, you know, just he has this knowledge inside out where he just knows the price is wrong. And that's kind of what I'm working towards, and, you know, just kind of really developing it. So it's early days with that. But it's a really good question, Dan. I mean, out of every 100 things I've tried, you know, maybe 6 or 7 things have sort of worked and work well. So now it's just kind of marginal edges on that kind of thing. But I would definitely say, you know, those things like horse races, horse racing for me is there's a big edge on that. And prop markets, so player prop markets, cards, player passes, things like that. Those are also quite steady earners.
Yeah, awesome, mate. Anthony said, Daffabet, are they okay then? Because their reviews are the worst I've ever seen.
I think, that's probably the UK one. Although, to be fair, it might be the Asian side. I use the Asian Daffabet because I'm here in Qatar, so I have access to that. It's Daffabet OW, which is kind of the sharp side. So you do get sort of slightly bigger limits than the sportsbook side, but the edges are much smaller.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, what did you say, mate? I was too busy reading bloody stream questions.
No, I use the Asian Daffabet. So the UK Daffabet is, you know, it's just like any other softbook. Yeah. I don't think it's going to work better or worse. It's just, you know, they act the same way as the rest of them. But the Asian side, OW, I've been using them for quite a while now. They've been okay. I can't complain too much. They still let me bet and put sort of stakes of 50 quid, 70 quid down sometimes, so you know, that's good enough for me.
Does the trick, mate. Nice. Yeah. Tom has asked, how much do you need to be in profit until you get premium charged on Betfair Exchange?
I know, it's a great problem. It's not one that I have. it would be a nice one to have in the future. They have a sort of I have read about this, and I didn't quite understand exactly the specifics, but there's blog posts out there. There's articles on this. It's a lifetime profit. So, you know, you could have a huge few months, but they do it over the lifetime of the account once it hits a certain level. And then it's sort of staggered from there. And there are people who kind of find ways around it. But again, Tom, if you get to that stage, you're going to be making serious money. So it's kind of it's a nice problem to have.
Yeah, definitely. And Daniel, Chill Gaming, he says, why, when I talk to friends about value betting, they always answer with, is it legal? What do you think about that? Obviously it's legal, but maybe it's just, I guess people, maybe they just assume that your accounts get limited. That means it's illegal.
Yeah, no, I mean, I kind of get where Daniel was coming from here. So it's kind of like when I try and explain what I do sometimes to friends, again, I get these sort of funny looks. And, you know, it's always this kind of expression of it being a bit dodgy and like, you know, you're betting and then you're doing this. And then like when I say the word, okay, why do you need an account, or why do you need these new account? Oh, because mine got closed, it got restricted, or, you know, I got banned. And these words kind of trigger off alarm bells with people. Whereas, you know, there's nothing illegal. I broke the terms and conditions as a customer, right? You're not going to go to jail for breaking the terms and conditions of a bookmaking company. So, but this is the kind of perception that people have in their heads, that it's something kind of almost dodgy, or it's fraudulent. And because it's not, not a conventional way of looking at it. We've discussed it before. People who trade stocks and shares, you know, no one's sort of questioning that. Whereas, you know, some of the biggest crooks out there have worked for investment banks and, should be in jail, in my opinion. So, but it's kind of the public perception of what you do. And, I mean, this is a good thing about TradeMate, and a lot of people who follow us are very serious about their betting as an investment. You know, this is an investment. You treat it like any other financial investment. You know, if you have an advantage in how you're going about things, are you going to make a profit with it? But to the wider public, I think that's not always well known.
Cool, mate. We've been answering so many bloody questions. We're not even getting close to answering some of the topics we wanted to cover today.
It's nice happens every week.
Oh, no, every time. But I guess we can move on. And I just wanted to quickly go through my TradeMate results, because I think they're a good comparison to how you're going. Obviously, I haven't got near the amount of turnover and trades as you have, but I think it's still a valuable topic to talk about. So firstly, I wanted to bring up this image because I think this is really interesting. So this is my result after just under 2,000 trades. And so I think this is really interesting because, I mean, Neil, what do you think? Do you think at this stage we're looking at 2,500 lost after 2,000 trades? If you were doing TradeMate yourself, this is like, you know, maybe like 2-3 months of work. What are you thinking at this stage?
Yeah, I remember you mentioning this before, and this is kind of like a point of no return, right? So I'm guessing it took an upturn from there, right? So
yeah, but I don't care about that, mate. I wanna know what you would.
Yeah, no. To be quite honest, look, if this had happened, you know, at the start of it, and then, you know, you probably wouldn't have invited me to do another video. That would have been it. And it's hard. It's hard because if you start off with this and you just, I don't know, for you, it must, because again, because you, you're doing this in your spare time as well, right? In between doing all the other stuff for TradeMate, you know, you're sitting down in the evening when you've got like a free hour or two. And yeah, how do you deal with that? Like, you know, just the kind of, did you have sort of days where you just thought, oh, you know what, can I be asked with this? Like the bankroll's going down, and you're just like, is it going to end? Like, what was going through your mind?
I mean, I never thought of quitting, because that would be the most hypocritical thing of all time. But no, I've become so numb, and I've become numb to both wins and losses. Like,
yeah,
I know I can show very soon like where it's at now, but I've become numb to both. Like, I almost like laugh at both. It's like I just have this weird thing where I chuckle at both results. It's a bit weird, but yeah, I don't really have too much to say. It's just like, obviously incredibly unlucky, and honestly the best thing that I've been able to do lately, thanks to multiple people that have shown me. So Jonah showed me this last year in January, the variance simulator, and Jose kind of brought it back to my eyes.
That was brilliant.
The Facebook group. I just completely forgot about that thing, and using that variance simulator, which I used 2 weeks ago on Sunday streams, if you want to go back and watch that, just it just puts everything in perspective. Like, I think it was a I think at this point, this was like a 10% chance of happening, or maybe even lower. Maybe it doesn't matter either way. Like 10%, although it's only 10%, it's a decent chance of happening. Like we're talking about once in every 10 times. So it just puts everything in perspective. And for me, what I did at the start in terms of like a starting bankroll is I thought, how big do I want my bankroll to be, in the sense that, like, how much closing EV do I want to be able to achieve each week? I didn't think about profits because I know that's going to go up and down. I wanted to be thinking about how much closing EV do I want to achieve every week to make this worth my while. So I think I settled on like $200 a week. Like, I mean, maybe it was maybe a little bit more than that, but I mean, this is my side gig. Like if I can make $200 a week on top of what I already make, like that's just a nice little piece of the pie on top of that. So my goal is not to achieve $200 in profit every week. It's to achieve $200 of closing EV. So as long as my closing EV is doing that every week, which is doing way more than that now, then I'm completely fine. But I will show my graph now. So, I mean, I had hit a really, really good point. I think this was, what are we at now? Yeah, I'm trying to remember when this was. Maybe it was last week or something. I can't really get that up. But, yeah, so this is where I was before with the screenshot, and now it just went on a crazy, not crazy, but it went on a decent upturn. So
it looks quite steady. It's been sort of steady growth on there.
Yeah. So, yeah, it just shows that, you know, I think most people probably would have quit earlier than after 2,000 trades, but just shows the value in large numbers. Right, we've got some more questions come through. Naidi Bakari says, why do bookies like Bet365 limit access to an account on responsible gambling basis, even when it is not funds that will affect my normal life?
Oh, mate, don't get us started on responsible gambling. it's a farce. You know, the rules are there with good intentions by a government who don't really understand what, you know, people who are advantage players and who take expected value on the markets are actually doing. You know, we are responsible gamblers. You know, people who are using TradeMate, people are using tools like this, but you get limited for acting sensibly. You get limited for calculating your stakes, you know, for not rounding them. If you look at the help guide, maybe Alex, you can sort of point to it from your screen.
You know, the help guide,
the tips, yeah, sort of how not to get limited or how to sort of prolong your account.
The advanced limitation.
Yeah, so this kind of going to your question, Eddie, like, because if you read through that, basically, you're kind of running counter. You're trying to act irresponsible to keep your account open, which is kind of a ridiculous situation, but that's ultimately, sadly, what you have to do with the soft bookmakers to keep your accounts prolonged. So yeah, I mean, and again, it's relative. You know, these proposals, if anyone's followed in the UK, the government proposals that they want to do to limit deposits. I think it was like, you know, one of the ideas was £100 a month. If you want to go over that, you need to send them bank statements. You need to send them a proof of your job. You need to send them like a list of like your disposable income. Yeah, you just send them a kidney. I mean, like, you have to send them all this stuff just so you can get a decent bet done. And we know, and if you're using something like TradeMate, and if you look at like Alex's results from there, again, you know, you could easily lose £100 in a day in a bet, you know, and that's it. That's you done for the month. So it doesn't take into account things like variance either. So yeah, responsible gambling, I mean, it's, you know, all these tools they have, they're kind of forced to have it, but, you know, maybe it's unfair of me to say, it's just my impression that I think sometimes bookmakers hide behind it or exploit that legislation to withhold winnings, to limit profitable players, to basically use delaying tactics. that's what I've observed. I don't know if anyone else shares that opinion. You know, if someone disagrees, I'm, you know, happy to see if, you know, that isn't the case, but that's what I've observed anyway.
Yeah, awesome, mate. More questions. So Dan Keck says, who are the best bettors to follow in your opinion? I follow Rue, Alex, Ryan, Jonas on Twitter. Any other good guys worth following? I don't know if you have any ideas, mate, but I would just say in general, like, there seems to be a discussion here about following tipsters and stuff on Twitter. Like, I wouldn't follow any, like, if you're following people on Twitter to get tips, then I almost would say don't do that, because you're really running into a dodgy business there. I think in, like, obviously, like, Haru, Ryan, Jonas, Nigel, George, all these guys that come on our podcast are great people to follow, but that's not on Twitter. That's on the podcast. So, I don't know do you know any people that give out tips on Twitter, Neil, on a regular basis that are worth following?
Yeah, listen, so something like this, Dan, the one thing I would say is that you could sort of have paralysis by analysis. So you could end up following loads of people and just be kind of flooded with information. The way that there's a really simple thing you could do. Again, you know, go through the podcast, follow Alex on Twitter. You know, he's got like a little black book of contacts and, you know, lots of interesting people that he's spoken to on the podcast and connected with. You know, you can't go, you know, far wrong just kind of following who he does. But again, you know, there's a, you know, if you've, how I follow people is, you know, again, I would listen, you know, I listen to the TradeMate podcast, I listen to other betting podcasts. And if there's someone who's saying something interesting, something that I'm learning from, then, you know, and they're on Twitter, then I'll think, okay, right, I'll give this guy a follow. Something I tend to do, I mean, I follow, but I don't really pay much attention to. There's a lot of big names on Twitter, or sort of well-known people or well-known traders. They don't really give much away that's helpful, you know, or they might post what they've had for breakfast, or, you know, have a whinge about, oh, you know, Betfair charging me all this for my premium commission because I made 800 grand this week. You know, yeah, good for you, but what have I learned from it? Something like football, I think, you know, to be aware of. Listen, you know, I don't want to name some people and forget some people, because there are lots of people I follow, and you know, there's too big a name to a list of names. But anyone who's been on podcasts, that Alex has vetted them, you know, has had a good conversation with them. Sometimes I contribute to that with Alex, or, you know, we share ideas on who to have on. You know, so there's been a few people I've come across who I've sort of recommended. And we work on questions there. So you know, and as a team as well, you know, the rest of the team, TradeMate team, have an idea of what's out there, you know, and who's interesting. But it really depends. So let's say, like, I know, for example, Ryan, you know, he knows his stuff on UFC, and I wish I had more time. I'm just doing so much at the moment, but I know I'm losing out. But, you know, I would sort of follow his UFC stuff more closely if I had the time. So you could be following loads of people, but just realistically, how many are you actually going to sort of pay attention to? So I'd say sort of start off small, and go from the podcast. You can't really go far wrong.
Yeah, it's a tricky topic, isn't it? There's just so many things you have to take into account. But yeah, people giving tips on Twitter is it's a very dodgy business. You have to be so careful of who you follow. All right. Should we try and cover some of the things we were going to talk about today? I don't know what we should. What do you think's the most valuable thing to talk about, mate? Because we're going to talk about betting exchanges, talk about our tennis results. What do you think? What are you feeling? Because you probably haven't got too much time, have you?
Yeah, no, it's fine. So we mentioned about tennis, and I think. It's something interesting, definitely. Oh, that's very kind. Thank you. Especially because there's a big tournament coming up. I've been sort of doing some tennis trading this year. it's been quite difficult. So maybe that could be a good topic.
Yeah, I think it's a great thing to talk about. So have you got your tennis results there, mate? Because I can get mine up also.
Yeah, let's yeah, so this is, I've got my overall tennis results. So since I started, so this is since last July.
Yeah. Let me just remove this. G'day, Francisco. How are you, mate? Good to have you on board. All right. So you've only done 412 trades overall on tennis.
Yeah, I think so. And that might be because of the bookies that I use. I haven't been able to get a lot of sort of edges. And then I think, so for example, on Unibet, I don't get more than, you know, like a pound or two. So a lot of the time I don't bother. I tend to have got from memory, I think a lot of trades on Boyle Sports as one, some on Bet Victor, and those two accounts are, you know, I'm sort of go quite a long time in between having those accounts, so that could be why. I don't use Bet365 for my trade mate either, so I know a lot of people do. I don't get a lot of tennis trades through 365.
Yeah, I probably get like 3 or 4 a week, not too many. The most I get most of mine through an Australian bookie here, so they produce quite a few. But I've been very hesitant with tennis because it's just because there's, you know, the challenges, the ITFs, or the, I haven't bothered with them because I feel like they're just the ultimate account risk because the edges are huge, like they're massive. So I can bring up my results too. I'll just take yours down. But yeah, so I recently, this is since January, and this is non recommended league. So this is basically everything outside of men's grand slams. And since I just did a lot of simulations. I think I've been through this before, but I did a lot of simulations on the big data tool to kind of see like where people were profitable with tennis, and came with a few presets that I'm sure that we can share after. But it just kind of shows that, you know, we're both talking about small sample sizes here, but yeah, I mean, even after these sample sizes, most people using TradeMate for tennis would probably be down. So should we share our presets, mate?
Sure. I mean, I don't sort of use a very specific one on mine, but I've broken it down for sort of the discussion on here. So I've found this was probably sort of looking through my data. This is with a kind of 3-hour time window. Which is about half the tennis bets were with a three-hour time window anyway.
Yeah. I can show my preset that I'm using for, I mean, I don't normally like to do this because I've actually put in work, if you know what I mean. So I understand if you don't want to show, because I think this goes beyond like our recommended presets, and this is like, you know, time that I put in myself to find like what I think the best preset is for tennis. But this was as you can see, all leagues, tennis 0 to 3 hours. I noticed, and this was on the back of talking to Dan Weston multiple times, where he kind of said that he thinks there are times when like there's a bit of a, like there's just good results verging towards the odds range of 2 to 3. So I was interested to see if that was a thing on TradeMate too.
So it matched up to what Dan was saying.
Yeah, it matched up perfectly. So I noticed that like us betting on tennis favorites was not going very well at all. I think it was a negative ROI. So like anyone from like odds range of 2 and below was negative ROI. I mean, it could just be because the sample size is small. I'm not sure if it was small, but this was just a general thing that I found. Edges, the minimum edge is pretty high. They're 3.5, but the edges are quite big on tennis. So you can still get in quite a few every week. And I've only really been betting on ATPs and WTAs, not challenges. So that was one of them I found. And then from 3 to 7, I mean, it's much the same, kind of similar kind of odds range, 2 to 2.6. So,
okay, interesting.
These are the presets I've been using.
From 3 to 7 hours out, then. So that's interesting.
Yeah. So they've, I mean, I'll have. Why don't we have a look and see how I've been going? 3 to 7 hours out, and so I've only really been doing this since since January. So we can see how this has been going. Oh, sorry. There you go, mate. So you can bet on tennis 3 to 7 hours out, apparently, according to my sample size of 235.
Yeah, that's great work. Also, it goes to show, Alex, you know, that, you know, if you put this kind of time into using the tools, you know, you can find some really interesting sort of micro edges and sort of ways to use it, or just all these kind of marginal gains really help.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 100%. I think, and it's probably something maybe we should do one day, is kind of go through and show people how to best use the big data. I think I actually might have done that a couple of weeks ago. I've done so many bloody live streams, I can't remember, but like just best practices, I guess, when using the big data tool, because I think you can't just like go in with no idea at all and just have a crack, because you could probably get a bit confused and come up with the wrong assumption.
Yeah, because what you mentioned, and this also kind of the approach, I think, because I did that article a while back on the football data, you know, kind of breaking it down in a similar kind of way, like you picked up on something that sort of Dan Weston said. So you had a hypothesis, and I think that's like the best way to use it, really, is just go into it with a kind of an idea you want to test out, have some kind of theory, you know, treat it like a science experiment. And see if it kind of matches up to what you're thinking, because you know that's how you kind of found that kind of sweet spot there. And so that's the thing, you know, you listen to the podcasts, you know, you read up on some knowledgeable people, and there'll be like the spark of an idea there. And that's what's great about this, the big data tool. You can really sort of hone in there.
Yeah. We might as well answer some questions. Jacob has said, do you know YouTube channel Sports Betting Truth? If yes, what do you think about it? I don't really know about them. Do you, mate?
I've heard of it. I can't say that I've really watched much of it. But, yeah, what do you think about it, Jacob? Do you recommend it? Should we have a watch?
If only Jacob had a voice. Anthony said, why are there so few women pro gamblers? Well, this is an interesting topic. What do you think, Neil?
It's a very interesting topic, and trying to think what to answer. I mean, actually, one thing would be good. This is something I might mention to Alex a while, but it would be good to have some female guests. You know, I'm sure you guys are sick of just seeing us blokes all the time. I think there are you know, women who do bet. What I notice from you know, a lot of match betting forums that I'm on, you know, there are lots of women who are match betting. I can definitely say that from what I've seen in these forums, it's kind of a fairly even split. But then I guess you could see maybe it's a bias. Maybe there's a kind of sporting bias that men tend to be more interested in this. Maybe, you know, it's growing. You know, there are female traders on Twitter. You know, there's a few that, you know, that I follow as well, but I mean, I couldn't say really. I think it would be good to get you know, a professional female sports bettor and kind of maybe get their perspective on it. You know, I can't speak for why. Something that maybe, I'm not saying I agree with it or not, it's just a discussion that I watched a while ago. It was on chess. And it was a similar kind of question on why there are so few female chess grandmasters. I think it was sort of in what was that show on Netflix? Queen's Bandit, I think, you know, it just come out. So it was a discussion there. And there was, you know, there's one side of the argument where actually the men have in general have a more kind of analytical mind. And I think that's more suited to something like professional betting, the kind of pricing, the mathematics of it. That's why you perhaps tend to have more male engineers or in those kind of fields. Or it could be a bias because there are less women sort of being represented. Then that's a kind of disadvantage. That's something that's maybe off-putting for other women. But again, there's different sides to this debate. I don't want to offend anyone. There could be many theories, but I can't speak for other people why there's so few professional gamblers from particular countries. I think something Marius said, in general, why there's so many sort of Nordic people in betting, like I think you said, you went to like all these conferences and it's always loads of people from like Sweden.
I think it was a technology conference, right, or something.
Yeah. So maybe there are particular quirks. There's something about risk taking, evolution. I mean, I don't know. Sorry, I keep rambling on. I'm sure Alex is just
No. I think I think we both kind of have no idea why there would be less. You'd have to ask a woman. I mean, my guess would be that men are generally more interested in sports. So maybe it's as simple as that. Because would you have started becoming a professional sports bettor if you weren't interested in sports? So, I mean, maybe it's just as simple as that. So I don't know. Well, I'd love to have a female on the podcast one time. I've just, I'm not aware. I mean, I don't really spend too much time on Twitter searching through, who's this, who's that. It's only really when I'm looking for a new podcast guest that I'm doing lots of research and background checks on people. So, one day maybe someone will pop up and can get her on.
Anyone can recommend anyone that.
Yeah,
that would be great. And then I'm sure Alex would look into that.
100%. Ramesh has said, does anyone know how to block IE snare on a Mac? Found instructions for Windows, but can't find them anywhere for an Apple Mac. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I think, yeah, actually, Ramesh asked me a while back. I just said Google it. I didn't know. So I guess that didn't work. I don't use it my Mac for my stuff. So but there must be. But hopefully someone in the forum could help Ramesh out here. I'm sure someone's figured it out.
Yeah, I have no idea. He says, I tend to retweak my presets at the beginning of every month after reviewing the previous month using the big data tool. Is that too often? Oh, the thing is, I wouldn't use, unless you're, I don't know, what do you think? Because I think that is too often in my opinion. And that in general, I don't think you have to worry, especially soccer. I just wouldn't even. I think you can go really general with soccer and not be worried at all because the market is just so efficient. Maybe not at the moment, but generally it is.
Yeah, I think with what I see, I'll have a look at big data tool and just see that if there's a long term trend that's in profit, I don't really think about tweaking it that much. If I'm kind of consistently, let's say I went 3 months in a row and I lost on something. So maybe I would say the only thing for me would have been ice hockey. I seem to have struggled with sort of since I started on TradeMate. But overall, the long-term trend on ice hockey is still profitable. It just so happens that this period has kind of coincided there. But that's the danger, is that if you're changing it up too much, then you might have a profitable strategy that was just going through a downturn. It's just difficult to say. I mean, what I do is definitely, every month, most months, I will look through and see kind of how it's going. I could spend more time doing it. I'm a bit lazy with it sometimes. But generally, if everything's working okay, even if I'm losing out on some efficiency, I don't delve into huge amounts of details. I think you could fall down a rabbit hole of spending a lot of time. And you'll spend a lot of time looking at things that are descriptive rather than prescriptive. And so what I mean by that, you know, you're kind of thinking about what's happened in the past rather than going forward. Is this still going, you know, is this still going to work? Is there something unique that happened? You know, let's say that the opening month of a new football or any sort of sporting season, there's going to be sort of weird results. Teams might not hit form. The last month of a season as well, you know, there's teams that are playing for nothing. That's going to throw up weird results. COVID, you know, you factor all of this stuff in, and you know there are these quirks, but overall this kind of evens out, you know, the kind of the efficiency, I believe the efficiency of these markets over time. It generally follows that steady path.
Well said, mate. We'll try and wrap this up. We've been on a very, very long time. Francisco says, which one do you prefer, live betting or pre-live betting, pre-game betting?
I mean, I enjoy live betting myself, but I'm better at, well, I mean, it's pre-match is more effective for me. But for a lot of people, it's the other way around. So I don't know. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I'm mostly all pre-game, unless it's the only time I live bet now, because like, I mean, this is, you have to be so sharp on the live betting, don't you? Like, you really have to, because it's so highly margined. It's just like, you have to really, 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 really be switched on. Sorry, my camera's turned off again. But for me, I only live bet MMA just because there's just huge inefficiencies there at times. So, I mean, one of the greatest examples was yesterday, Derek Brunson and Kevin Holland were fighting, and I think it was the fourth or the fifth round, and Brunson had been dominating the whole fight. And anyway, it's hard to explain this to people who are not really interested in UFC, but for someone that was dominating the fight so much, Derek got rocked very, very briefly. But you knew that every time that he got rocked and Kevin got too close, that he was just going to attempt another takedown, gets him down, and the round's over for Holland again. And the odds would just shoot up on Derek every time he'd be slightly staggered or looking a little bit of trouble. So
was that on the exchange, Alex, or a bookie that you were?
It's on Betfair mostly, yeah. But the Pinnacle do live odds now. Between rounds, not during the actual fight, but between rounds they do it now, which is quite good. But most of the time, Betfair's got the best prices. So, yeah, that's the only thing that I live bet, and everything else is pre-game. Dan says, question for Alex, do you know the highest amount of profit one customer has made from TradeMate? Would be interesting to know. Must be some crazy multi-accounter that has turned over millions. Well, we have definitely had people that have turned over millions. I can 100% tell you that. I don't really track people who've been... The only time I ever looked at people's results was when I was trying to get people on for interviews, like just customer interviews. But I was mostly looking at who'd gotten the most trades in, because I think that's the most interesting aspect. But I've definitely seen people who have made, if not 100 would be euro, I think euros or pounds, one of those two, 100,000 euros, pounds. I think there was one guy who'd made that kind of money, and he was using TradeMate Pro. But I think that could have been before SBO and Dafabet started limiting people, because there's a definite outlet there where you could get, I don't know, you could get an ROI of like 1-2% with Dafabet and SBO before they started limiting. Well, you obviously still can, but you just can't get the money down. Maybe something around the 100K mark, something like that, Dan. You borrow 1,009s. You also don't focus on Bitcoin bookies. Have you used Bitcoin bookies, mate?
One or two. There's a few not quite reputable ones out there you need to be wary of. But for me, I tend to avoid them because just crypto is so volatile. I'm sure I could, you know, that one good advantage of Bitcoin bookies is you don't have to go through all the nonsense of ID verification and all of that. So that's a big advantage. But then, you know, if you place a bet the day before and you win it and then Bitcoin sort of skyrockets the next day, you know, or vice versa, then it's kind of, for me, it's a nightmare to sort of keep track of, at least with fiat currencies. You know, fine, the pound or the euro, the dollar might go up and down a bit, but generally it's quite stable. So I know what's in my bankroll. I'm guessing that's why, that's probably one of the reasons as well. And the major bookies sort of aren't Bitcoin based. I don't know if some of them offer Bitcoin as a deposit option and convert it. I'm guessing there may be a few, but if that's something you're interested in. But
yeah, I don't know. I haven't really looked into. I actually invested in the
future, you know, like as in there are a few. Someone mentioned on the forum, I think it was it Scott, or sorry if I got the person wrong, who they posted something on our Facebook forum about a crypto bookie that's just opened up, I think. So maybe there will be more in the future.
All right, mate. I think we should start wrapping it up now because I'm going a very long time. But we should, and instead of making sure we cover all these topics, I thought we should maybe just reveal our little piece of exciting news, and maybe people can give us some nice little suggestions. Do you want to reveal what you've been working on the last few months, mate?
Both of us. Alex and I are working on a quite exciting project. So we're going to be releasing a book. Release date to be confirmed, but hopefully sometime late summer. And it's kind of like a betting Bible, kind of value betting Bible on, again, all the kind of the fundamentals, kind of betting theory, lots of the things we talk about on the podcast, and all the tools that you need to kind of get yourself up to a good level, you know, so that you're ready to kind of dive in at the deep end and, you know, feel much more confident sort of taking on the bookmakers, finding value yourself, you know, in your selections, kind of understanding the process that, you know, software like Trademate uses. So there'll be lots of sort of interesting insights in there. There'll be, you know, this is kind of a labor of love for us as well. So, you know, we're putting, you know, a lot of effort into this. For myself, I'm reading constantly every week, loads of sort of books on betting, and we want to make this, you know, one of the best books out there. So it's an educational book. So for anyone who doesn't know, sort of, my background is as a teacher, and Alex is, you know, of course, background is in marketing as well. So we want to make it engaging. We want to make it something you learn from. So it's not just something you just sort of pick up and, you know, just gathers dust on the corner of the shelf. You're going to be challenged in there. There's going to be questions for you. There's going to be exercises for you to actually do. So for you to be proactive about, you know, how you use these betting tools. And also loads of little extra goodies. So lots of free goodies that are really going to help you. Lots of little spreadsheets and calculators and sort of things you can't get anywhere else. So I think it will be something, you know, really exciting and something I hope will be really useful. And Alex, sorry if there's anything else you wanted to add about the book.
No, mate, I just wanted to mention that, I mean, you've been working on this probably just before Christmas, maybe something like that, November, Christmas. So yeah, Neil got things well and truly started, and I've really just gone on his cocktails in the last month. I've started helping him out a bit. So I think you explained really well what we're trying to do. Like, there are lots of books out there, but I think what we want to do is just give people like the ultimate platform for people to start with. Like, it's almost like the opposite of, you know, giving out a tip on the Arsenal Tottenham match last week and whatever, you know what I mean? Like, we just want to give people that platform to start with. And the cool thing is we're going to be able to include so much stuff from our experts that we've had on our blog writing articles, and also people that have come on the podcast. So being able to summarize all of that into like one, Yeah, I like the word Bible. Like, I think that's a really, a really good word to summarize what we're trying to achieve with it. So, yeah, if you guys want to comment any suggestions right now of things that you really want us to cover, my favorite part of the book, I think we're going to call it the nuggets. The nuggets section is just like, it's probably the closest thing you can get to a little tip, like just like little things that people can just ideas that people can come up with, I guess, and like nuggets that people have given us on the podcast and on the Betting Expert article series, like these little things that you know, you could listen to an hour-long podcast, mate, and the only thing that was valuable in that podcast was 5 seconds, but you have to listen to that whole podcast to get that little 5 second clip where you're like, your brain, you know, you're listening here and then all of a sudden your brain goes over there because you see something, you listen to something that's really like taking your fancy. So I think that even it might be worth buying it just from the, like all these little nuggets that Neil and I have found over time.
And it's big credit to Alex as well. So, you know, just if you think, okay, look, I mean, listen, I would maybe consider myself, you know, I do try and follow the podcast and everything as much as I can. But even I've struggled to listen to all of them. So there's so much information because Alex just, you know, is constantly, you know, like finding interesting guests and there's like, you know, interesting topics on there. I miss a lot of the preview shows, for example, but I know there's been preview shows, you know, for example, with George and Nigel, where there's, yeah, they're giving the week's predictions. But I think like the other week, George gave out, you know, it was like a brilliant masterclass in how to approach card betting. And there's just so much. So, you know, if you want to be a cheapskate, just listen to all the TradeMate podcasts. Just sit down for a week.
Well, that's what I'm doing at the moment, mate. I forget everything that's been said on the podcast, mate. So I have to go back and listen to them all.
Yeah, but like, that's it. The same. And there's so much information there. It's an absolute, like, you know, goldmine of stuff. You know, so credit to Alex for... you know, for all these great questions, you know, he's asked all the guests and all this kind of, you know, really useful insight. And I think that's part of the book, you know, is the kind of the best bits. It's almost, you know, the best bits from it, but not just telling you, but kind of making you think about it for yourself, you know, applying it, actually thinking, right, okay, if you see a market tomorrow, you know, what do you think about that price? Before you even look at the price of the game, how do you even calculate it? How do you get to that line? How can you kind of anticipate these things? So it's basically just getting you to think sort of, you know, more smartly about your betting. We got an offer from Anthony as well to write a chapter on the outright.
Yeah, on the outright section. There you go, mate. Yeah, superb. And Daniel, mate, of course, mate, you can get a discount on the book, mate, after your brilliant contribution to the channel a couple of months ago. So, yeah, no, I'm really excited. And to do with the nuggets section, I think the easiest example I could give is like when George came on the podcast and he said like things to look out for in the card markets is when people are on four cards. Let's just say you've got, I'll try and think of an Arsenal example because the best thing I can think of, let's say Granit Xhaka's on four yellow cards. We're playing, let's just say we're playing Burnley this week, playing West Brom the week after, and then the week after you've got Tottenham. He might, you know, purposely give away a yellow card in the game today just so he misses next week's game against West Brom, and then he can play the North London derby. So I don't think, from talking to George, it doesn't seem like bookmakers factor that into their odds at all. So these are just things that you can little things that you can research, you know, after maybe 10 games in the season, like, or maybe less, you know, who's on four yellow cards, like who might be actually trying to get a yellow card to make sure they're fresh and ready for a big game that's coming up. So yeah, that's just an example of a nugget. And we've got Ramesh here. I think he's he's having a crack at Tottenham, mate. The book will win more awards than Tottenham have trophies. I mean, it's not hard to do, is it?
Yeah, I'm not sure whether I should say I hope so or not.
Classic. All right, mate, we've been going for over an hour and a half. I'm absolutely cooked. Oh, I'm not too good once I go over the hour mark, so hopefully I've made sense after in the last 30 minutes. But yeah, Tom says any more punter podcast, pro punter podcast coming soon. Yeah, there will be. I couldn't tell you when, but yeah, soon, mate. There'll be some coming out soon. So thanks everyone for joining. Anything else you wanted to say, Neil, before we head off, mate?
No, just thanks everyone as always for tuning in. I really enjoyed it. Thanks again, Alex, for all your hard work. And I think, you know, as we mentioned with the book, if anyone has any ideas, anything interesting to do with that, the question we had from Anthony earlier about female bettors, that'd be great if anyone knows any sort of women in the industry who would be an interesting guest. I think that would be, you know, that'd be a nice welcome change. You know, I think Alex is sort of sick of seeing me. You know, I only come on when he has anyone better to come on this week. So,
well, speaking of next week, we've actually got Mark O'Hare coming on, which is which is great news. That'll be good fun. I've always wanted to get him along for a live Q&A because he's one of the most popular guys out there, and I think it's
really smart guy. Yeah,
great fella, and I think he'll have lots of interesting things to say. So make sure you tune in next Sunday for that. It's going to get tough for me, mate, because you guys are going forward an hour, so I'm going to have to get up 1 hour earlier. So it's you're not in the UK. I don't know what your situation is with time, but
no, same. Yeah, when the springtime. It'll be 1 hour less.
Yeah, it's gonna be a tough wake up for me on Sundays, or Monday mornings actually. But cheers everyone for tuning in. As I said, next week we'll have Mark O'Hare on Sunday stream. So make sure you definitely tune in for that. That'll be very, very good. Listen, and hopefully, you know, going forward, we'll be able to cover all the topics that I write down beforehand. Because we covered a lot of it. I think I'd like to go deeper on the betting exchange stuff in the future. So hopefully we can do that soon.